and welcome to Nice News. This is a broadcast about some uplifting and sometimes very unusual topics. This is Joyce Vesper, your Sun Sounds of Arizona volunteer broadcaster. On Nice News, we cover information on various topics from all corners of the world. The program provides a timeout from the daily news that doesn't always cover the happiest of topics. So please, give us a listen. Who knows what might give you a laugh or cause you to remember something from another era or even pique your interest, such as this particular article from It Must Be True, I Read It in the Tabloids. Neil the seal, a 2,200-pound elephant seal the size of a small car, is on a rampage in southern Tasmania. He's tearing down bollards, crushing fences, obstructing roads, and bashing into parked cars in the coastal suburbs of Hobart. He returns to the same area every year, getting larger and more boisterous each time. Most male elephant seals of his age stage dominance battles with other seals, but Neil, he's different. He seems to prefer wrecking man-made objects. As local resident Dale Creamer put it, quote, "It's Neil's world and we're just living in it," unquote. And then there's this article. You know, it wasn't all bad. Englishman Graham Barrett earned his 10th Guinness World Record in June after harvesting a 3.86-pound elephant garlic bulb from his garden. The retired telecoms manager started raking up records 2 years ago, including the heaviest loofah, celeriac, and tomatillo, and the longest pea pod. Last fall, he planted the elephant garlic, a unique species, and instantly knew he had something special, Barrett said. With a bulb 7.5 inches in diameter, his garlic is five times the size of a typical elephant garlic. I wonder what it smells like. And then there's a dog recovering from epilepsy on Long Island who has formed an unlikely and miraculous bond with a household duck. The Carinelli family's golden retriever, Barley, lost his playfulness after starting treatment in 2024. But when the family brought home an American Peking duckling, a friendship instantly developed. Every morning, Barley would go to the duck's outdoor pen, which has wind-protected shed and a small pool. They often wrestle playfully and spar over food. "Louis has no idea he's a duck," said Tori Carinelli. "He thinks he's a dog." The pair are now inseparable, and the family says the relationship has brought the old, joyful Barley back. "Maybe she was just lonely. I'm not really sure," Carinelli says. Christmas came early this year when 36 professional Santa Clauses, Mrs. Clauses, elves met for the 69th World Santa Claus Congress in Denmark. The annual gathering began in 1957 to entertain children and has transformed into a space for employees of the Yuletide season to swap stories, compare beards, and sharpen their craft. Santa impersonators from as far away as the United States and Japan partook in the parades and competed in gingerbread eating and gift wrapping contests. "Christmas isn't a season," said 33-year-old Simon Bronze. "It's a feeling." And this is from It Wasn't All Bad. And here is a viewpoint to ponder. There is one human superpower that artificial intelligence is unlikely to emulate: the capacity for individuality and idiosyncrasy, and the authenticity it yields. Without having to experience the struggle of wrestling and complexity, collaborating with others and integrating unwelcome feedback, LLMs invariably short-circuit something that we humans value very deeply. A surprisingly large proportion of life is spent on meandering, inefficient searches, which one are often the roots of uniqueness and will always place human creation above machine fabrication. So says Nicholas A. Christakis in the Washington Post. Our next article is titled Meet the Musketeers. Historical Reenactments Appeal to Older Americans is written by Ellen Ryan. Make ready, the lieutenant called out to his troops. Take aim. Fire. In their blue coats and yellow-trimmed tricorn hats, the soldiers of the 1st Delaware Regiment pulled the triggers on their muskets. The scene was a reenactment at Brandywine Battlefield Park in southeastern Pennsylvania. It was March 8, 2026, but it could have been September 11, 1777, the day General George Washington's Continental Army took on the British General William Howe's Redcoats. While American patriots and British forces fired on one another using blanks, of course, women portrayed soldiers' relatives known as camp followers. They chatted with visitors and set out a light meal of apricots and figs, dried beef, and pickled eggs. Others mended uniforms. As the United States celebrates its 250th anniversary this year, expect Revolutionary War and similar historical reenactments to receive new attention. It's a practice that has gone on for more than 50 years, one that many older people find in an active way to satisfy their love of history. A lot of people started during the bicentennial, putting on uniforms and such, says Bob Bendesky, 67, president emeritus of the 6th Pennsylvania Regiment Living History Group based in Philadelphia. Now those younger people are the older people, reflecting the era. Across America, reenactors staged Revolutionary War-related events at the Margaretta Days Festival in Machias, Maine, Colonel Market Days in Lebanon, Indiana, and American Revolution 60 Years War for Ohio in Perrysburg, among many others, and places like Colonial Williamsburg in Virginia and Plymouth Patuxent Museum in Massachusetts interpret colonial life on an ongoing basis. Visitors come from the sensory experience, the sounds and the smells of gunfire, and the up-close visuals that can't be captured in books or movies. Reenactors make the military drills, the clothing, the firearms, the fife and drum as accurate as possible. Many have spent years studying the era. Stephanie Billion, 66, who portrays a civilian camp follower with the 1st Delaware Regiment Living History Group, took classes in clothing design to work on her costumes. Sharing history. Whether portraying rebels or loyalists, farmers or frontier folk, reenactors keep coming back for the camaraderie and to pass on their knowledge to visitors, says Fane Wheeler, 56, an industrial mechanic who has done Revolutionary War reenactment for more than 10 years and was part of the March event in Pennsylvania. Reenactors may demonstrate how to start a fire using 18th century tools or how to shoulder a musket. You learn that so much is still being learned, says Chris Milarnik, 54, president of the 1st Delaware Regiment. For instance, the Delaware Regiment had multiple groups, African Americans, people from Europe, Native Americans. That sense of discovery is what reenactors enjoy. Billion, a retired intelligence analyst, demonstrates weaving using a tape loom and says, "We do living history because it creates a link between the present and the past." This article, written by Ellen Ryan, Meet the Musketeers, Historical Reenactments Appeal to Older Americans. Our next articles come from the editors at Andrews McNeil Syndication, News of the Weird. In his quest to retrieve a bottle of Mountain Dew, a Kansas City, Missouri man fell into a portable restroom toilet tank and was stuck there for 8 hours, with the lid closed, before being rescued. According to Fox 4 News, on July 14th, a driver with Patriot Portable Restrooms was trying to collect the structures that had been set up for the World Cup watch party when he encountered the trapped occupant. The driver flagged down a nearby police officer who helped him unlock the door. "When we opened the door and didn't see anybody, we thought, honestly, we were talking to a ghost. And then his head popped out of the tank like a game of whack-a-mole or Oscar the Grouch coming out of his can." A company representative said, KCFD had to cut the man out of the toilet and then blasted him with a fire hose to rinse him off. In the portable restroom business, you kind of expect the unexpected, the representative said. But in 6 years, I never thought I'd find someone alive inside one of our toilets. Next article is titled In the Heights. In Wilmington, Illinois, a man was rescued after being stuck in a gas station sign for several hours on July 21st. The man, a maintenance worker, used a special lift to get up to the 130-foot-tall sign to do some work on it. The lift, however, could not come down, leaving the man stranded until emergency personnel were able to procure a crane from a nearby Joliet station. ABC 7 reported that the man appeared to be in good spirits and he refused medical treatment. Next article, clothing optional. Witnesses in northeastern Colorado were met with a startling image on July 16th, a man surfing a moving Union Pacific locomotive. While in the buff, that's what I said, in the buff, Daniel Ray Balance of Arizona allegedly broke a window to get into the train and climbed to the top while it was moving, Fox News reported. Balance faces misdemeanor and felony charges, and authorities have not released a motivation for Balance's antics or whether anyone was injured in the process. Daniel is spending some time at an all-expense-paid stay in the jail, where he is presumed innocent until proven guilty, said the Sedgwick County Sheriff's Office in a social media post. Authorities in Ellisville, Mississippi, are also stumped as to why Caitlin Maxwell, 22, was operating a vehicle, in this case a 2017 Dodge Challenger, while wholly unclothed. The Smoking Gun reported that on July 12th, Maxwell was pulled over during a traffic stop after officers observed the car driving erratically. Police reported that she appeared to be inebriated and that the vehicle smelled strongly of pot. They also discovered 5 firearms and a bag of marijuana. Maxwell faces felony and misdemeanor charges and is in jail on a $35,000 bond. I don't know if she's wearing clothes, however. Eyewitness News. An Odessa, Texas man is reeling after learning that the odor that had been emitting for weeks from a clothes donation box in his neighborhood belonged to a dead body. I never knew where it came from. It just smelled, Juan Enriquez said. But I thought it was a trash can. You know how it smells during the summertime? KOSA reported that the police found the body on July 17th and are working to identify the deceased. But authorities say there's no evidence of foul play. Oh boy, there's a good play on words. Police report. During a traffic stop, police in St. Petersburg, Florida, arrested the driver for a window tint violation and the passengers for several bags of fentanyl that kept falling from the person. The Smoking Gun reported on July 17th that when Yanshi Smith, 26, stepped out of the passenger side of the car, officers noted baggies on the seat and near the ground. Then, while walking to the police van, another bag fell from her buttocks area, according to the police report. But wait, there's more. While Smith was being booked into custody, officers confiscated 2 more baggies from the defendant's vaginal cavity and right breast area. Smith faces charges of drug trafficking and possession of controlled substance in a detention facility. The tech revolution. Humanoid robot surgeons have surgically completed 2 gallbladder removals on large animals, paving the way for human surgeries to be performed by robots. Metro News UK reported on July 14th that engineers and surgeons at the University of California, San Diego, performed the procedures. During one, a human surgeon was assisted by a robotic one, and in another, 2 robotic surgeons made up the surgical team. The human-like robots are about 5 feet tall, they weigh less, and take up less space than current robotic surgery machines. remotely operated and autonomous humanoid robots have real potential for expanding access to critical surgeries that patients would otherwise not receive. Professor Michael Yip, of one of the researchers, said in an article, "It's a small world. It sounds like the plot of a psychological thriller. You go on vacation and you stay at a rental where you've never been before. Inside, you admire a framed beach photo on the wall, only to recognize yourself and several family members in the pictures." That's what happened to Utah sisters Libby Burrell and Aubrey Burrell, who were visiting Oceanside, California, with extended family for their grandmother's 80th birthday. "I will say we were creeped out," Aubrey, 26, said. "Did they know we were coming?" The sisters posted a video to social media, and the host informed them that the decorator of the rental is a local photographer who sells aerial beach prints to vacation rental hosts. When the sisters' video went viral, several commenters agreed that they had seen the same photo in different rentals. Judging by their swimsuit styles in the photo, the family believes the picture was snapped during a trip they took about 10 years ago to a nearby beach. Now the sisters find the incident funny and are working to obtain a print from the photographer. The Legend of Jimothy. A raccoon has become a viral sensation after videos of him scurrying around Seattle's Ballard neighborhood hit the internet this summer. However, this isn't your typical trash panda. On July 17th, UPI reported that Seattle resident Kiana Hall spotted the critter, who has a hunched back and round form. "I got very confused at what I was seeing," Hall said. "I just have never seen any other animal like it." She even gave the creatures, who has drawn comparisons to mythical characters like a cryptid or a yeti, a name. "He looked like a Jimothy," Hall said. Marcy Logsdon, an associate professor at Washington State University's Veterinary Hospital, says Jimothy's unusual appearance could be related to a spinal deformity. "Despite his appearance, he's actively moving around," and Logsdon says Jimothy appears to be otherwise very healthy and very hungry. And finally, animal antics. The summer heat isn't only getting to the humans. Just ask Katie Cole. On July 16th, KDVR reported that she found a black bear cooling off in her kiddie pool. While the pool is actually for her dogs, Cole said she was glad the bear had a chance to go for a dip and cool down since the weather in the area has been so hot and dry. Colorado Parks and Wildlife said that compared to last summer, there have been 1,000 more bear sightings, which they attribute to the drought. And that's the news from the Weird. And it is published by Andrews McNeil Syndication. Charlotte Philippe writes, "Zoo ape finds baby bird in her habitat and then amazes keepers with her heartwarming next move." A primate in New Mexico Zoo shared a tender moment with a baby bird after she rescued the robin and attempted to feed it after it landed in her habitat. According to Albuquerque's ABQ Biopark Zoo, one of the facility's residents, Siamang's Eve, encountered the baby bird in late May after it accidentally entered her habitat. Megan Agena, a member of the primate care team at the zoo, provided more information on the incident in a June 27th video shared by ABQ Biopark. In the clip, Agena shares that when she first noticed Eve had picked up the baby bird, she wasn't sure how the siamang would handle the tiny animal. "I quickly saw that she was actually being very gentle with the baby bird and showing maternal behaviors toward it," Agena says in the video, adding that the bird looked to be a fledgling American robin. Eve, who had already welcomed her own baby before this incident, quickly showed off her caring instincts, cradling the bird in her arms, grooming it, and even attempting to nurse it. "Every time it would make a noise, she would try her best to comfort it," Agena adds. "Not long after that, I noticed her with the bird. She took it inside to her indoor space because she was very protective of it and presumably wanted to keep it away from the other two siamangs in the habitat." According to Agena, keepers monitored Eve with the bird, waiting for the right moment to retrieve the young robin. Eventually, she sat it down gently beside her while she ate her breakfast. When Eve stepped outside, it gave me the chance to safely retrieve the baby bird. Keepers were able to reunite the robin, which seemed healthy and unharmed, with its mother. According to the National Zoo, siamangs are the largest of the gibbon species and are native to the forests of Indonesia, Malaysia, and Thailand. These dark, shaggy-coated apes can grow 29 to 35 inches tall and weigh 23 pounds. The primate has social structures in which pairs of adults, including male siamangs and female siamangs, raise their young together. Eve's family fits right in with this social structure, as she, her mate Wayne, and their daughter Rashia all reside together in the zoo. Looking back, we don't know why Eve did what she did, Agena notes at the end of the clip. She's the most independent and gentle of the three siamangs here. While it's uncommon to see this kind of behavior between different species, it may just be in her nature. Either way, seeing Eve care for the baby bird like was very heartwarming. The keeper adds, it's a gentle reminder that these animals are intelligent and have instincts that go deeper than we can possibly imagine. This article, written by Charlotte Philippe, Zoo Ape Finds Baby Bird in Her Habitat and Then Amazes Keepers with Her Heartwarming Next Move. Hey, did you know that holding your sneeze can really hurt you? Well, Jennifer Byrne tells us about it. When I was a kid, the word on the playground was that holding in a sneeze would make your eyeballs pop out of your head. It's the kind of scare tactic that ranks somewhere between when you swallow gum, it stays in your stomach for 10 years, and if you hit the ground in a falling dream, you die in real life. Even at age 7, I didn't believe it, and I still have both my eyeballs to prove it. I've been a sneeze holder for my entire life, and I've always kind of thought I was doing the considerate thing by protecting those nearby from my nasal explosions. When I can't hold a sneeze back, I usually try to achoo into my elbow, but it's always felt like some kind of yoga pose I'm doing wrong. Is it elbow up, face down? Am I covering my mouth or just getting gesturing vaguely at my own bicep? But it turns out, although I'm unlikely to lose my eyeballs doing it, holding a sneeze is not exactly the safe bet that I once thought it was. The same physical principle that makes sneezing an effective airway defense mechanism can, under unusual circumstances, contribute to injury when reflex is forcibly interrupted. Dr. Qin Liu, a researcher at Washington University in St. Louis, told Popular Science, "So just how dangerous is it to hold a sneeze? A sneeze is meant to go somewhere and not back into you. As chaotic and unpredictable as sneezing might seem, it's far from random. According to Liu, sneezing evolved as a defense mechanism, a fast, forcible way to clear irritants, allergens, and pathogens out of your upper airway before they can do any damage. The force behind it is powerful, for good reasons. So how does your body actually generate the force of a sneeze? Liu offers a vivid, if somewhat terrifying, metaphor for what's actually happening in the body during a sneeze. The diaphragm and the intercostal muscles, located between the ribs, are doing the main work. The diaphragm and the intercostal muscles function as a gun, while the pressure serves as a bullet. In the normal sense, all that built-up energy fires out through your nose and mouth and disperses into the air. And when you block both exits by pinching your nose and clamping your mouth shut, the pressure has nowhere to go. A sneeze is designed as an open pressure release system, Liu says. Problems arise when the release pathway is suddenly blocked. Instead of firing out into the open air, that same force gets pushed back into your body, into tissues and structures that are not meant to absorb it. If the pressure is strong enough, something gives. That trapped pressure, Liu explains, can travel into your nasopharynx, your sinuses, your eustachian tubes, even your middle ear. In rare cases, it pushes even further into the deeper tissues of your chest and neck. Allowing a sneeze to occur in a controlled and hygienic manner remains the safest recommendation. So there you have it. From now on, I'll let my sneeze happen. My elbow and I have some practicing to do. Jennifer Byrne wrote, "Holding in your sneezes can really hurt you." Well, we're at the end of the program, so I'd like to leave you with this quote of the day from Sandra Day O'Connor. "The practice of democracy is not passed down through the gene pool. It must be taught and learned anew by each generation." Sandra Day O'Connor. I hope you enjoyed today's articles. Please join us again next time when we cover interesting and some very unusual topics on Nice News. This has been Joyce Vesper, your volunteer broadcaster for Sun Sounds of Arizona, a radio reading service. Stay healthy, everyone. Be well, be happy. Bye-bye.